when you find godly characters in the Scripture, there always seems to be in the shadows, just a little off the center stage, there are those that are shady characters. There are oppressors. There are antagonists. There are those who cause great difficulties to those who are godly. Well, Abel had his Cain, you know, and it was Isaac who had his Ishmael. It was Jacob who had a brother Esau that the Scripture calls a profane man, Esau was. Joseph was oppressed not only by his brethren, but by that wicked woman, Potiphar's wife. David's own father-in-law, Saul, was that shady character that gave him such a hard time. Elijah had his Ahab. Mordecai, his Haman. Nehemiah, Tobiah. Christ had his Judas. And even the great Apostle Paul had Demas. Demas, who forsook him, having loved this present world. Now in our Bible reading this morning, Boaz was the great kinsman redeemer, the mighty man of wealth and mighty man of valor. He was and is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the romance of redemption of the book of Ruth. Ruth as the one who eventually becomes the bride is a picture of the church. But then there was this unnamed, shady character. The kinsman that was nearer than Boaz. The nearer kinsman. He was left unnamed, even to his own shame. This kinsman was nearer related to Ruth's family than Boaz was. But he was not a godly man, nor a spiritual man, for he was not willing to fulfill the holy law of God. He was a graceless man whose being unnamed sinks him into the oblivion of disgrace. In chapter 4 and verse 1, the writer, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, particularly leaves him unnamed. Ho! Such a one. Not even the pagan Santa Claus would be cut that short, for he would have a ho, ho, ho. But here is only a ho. Ho! Such a one. Well, he would not raise up the name of the dead, so he should have his own name to die. Therefore, now this morning we are going to simply consider three matters. Number one, who was the nearer kinsman? Or no, I'm sorry. Who the nearer kinsman was not? Who the nearer kinsman was not? Secondly, who the nearer kinsman was? And lastly, who is the true kinsman? And there it is. Who the nearer kinsman was not. Who the nearer kinsman was. And who is the true kinsman? The true kinsman redeemer. After having consulted with at least 10 of the ancient commentators and the modern commentators, I only found 2 who even touched on the subject of this shady character. Who was he? Most of them seem to ignore him. Well, there's quite a bit of Scripture given to speak about him and what he did, who he was. He was nearer than Boaz. Well, the two that were a real help in framing this message, Brother T.T. Shields, the great doctor and Spurgeon of Canada, who went to glory in 1955. The second one was the Reverend Philip Morrow, who went to be with the Lord in 1952. I like to keep up with the ages of these men of God, even as I get older. I look at these dates. Well, the nearer kinsman has been a controversy for a long time among some theologians. Since Ruth is a picture of the church and Boaz is a type of Christ, who does this nearer kinsman represent? Well, some have said, and I gave you a little suggestion a week or two ago, that the nearer kinsman is said by some to represent the law. For it was the law that failed to redeem us. Romans 8 and verse 3, what the law could not do. Well, the law was never intended to accomplish our redemption. For Paul says in Galatians 3:21, if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. The law had power only to justify the innocent. As long as man did not sin, the law could keep him safe in the Garden of Eden or anywhere. But once he fell, once we fell in Adam and all became sinners, strict law had no power to redeem sinners. It could only condemn sinners. Romans chapter 7 and verse 2. We thought about this the other day a little as we were asking, who was this nearer kinsman? Romans 7 and verse 2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, that was Ruth's case, she is loosed from the law of her husband. All right? The law is not the husband, but simply binds the husband and wife together as long as they live. No, the law is not a shady failure. The nearer kinsman is really a man. A truly human nature, the nearer kinsman is. To use the great Baptist preacher's language, John Bunyan, the nearer kinsman is our old man, Adam the first. He was one. If you study the character of this man in Ruth chapter 4, he was a man that was always looking out sharply for his own interests. When he heard that a parcel of land was offered, he was ready. He immediately replied, I will redeem it. Verse 4 of chapter 4. I will redeem it. That verse closes with those words. But then, when he found out that it meant not just having land, but being married to a godly woman, he had no desire to be bound to one that was spiritual. When he found out that he must live to exalt the name of another, he refused it, for he would not live to exalt another name, only his own. He selfishly repudiated his obligations to the law, saying in verse 6, I cannot redeem it, lest I mar mine own inheritance. The old man, when tested by God's holy law, is a failure in every requirement. The old man confesses in Ruth chapter 4 that he is not only not willing to redeem the needy soul, but also unable. For in verse 6, he says, I cannot. And again, at the end of the verse, I cannot redeem it. The nearer kinsman was only a natural man. Like the first Adam, he was of the earth, earthy. 1 Corinthians 15:48. All the great achievements of the natural man are accomplished by earthy means. How do natural men, how does a carnal, corrupted nature accomplish things in this world? Well, one of the chief ways is by money, by silver and by gold. Psalm 49, verses 6 and 7. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Oh, many things can be done by the power of nature, but no redemption can be done by the power of the natural man, by the old man, by the fallen nature. Redemption, therefore, was wholly beyond the old man, our nearest kinsman. There must be another. There must be a spiritual man. The Lord from heaven, 1 Corinthians 15, speaks of Him. The quickening Spirit. Our greater Boaz, who confronts the old man and makes him shamefully remove his shoe. In verse 7, he plucked off his shoe and he gave it to his neighbor. He took off that shoe. And what was he saying? He gave it to the Boaz who is able to stand in the shoes and in the place of responsibility to redeem us by himself. The old nature could not do it. But how many people are trusting to themselves that they have that innate power within them to somehow redeem themselves or to help redeem themselves? I ask then, who is our near kinsman? Who is the true near kinsman? Our nearer kinsman, our corrupt old man, could not satisfy the law for us. Another near kinsman, Christ Jesus, came into this world in true flesh and in true blood. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. He Himself likewise took part of the same. He came not in the sinful flesh of our old man, but only in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 again. Christ was made of a woman and made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4, 5 and 6. Again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, 21 and 22, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now we understand that, don't we? Every one of us, we're born in Adam. And it is as natural as us breathing to be dead spiritually. All are dead that are in Adam, and all are in Adam. Even so, it is only those that are in Christ, and it is all those who are in Christ that are made alive, that are quickened spiritually. Look at verse 9 of Ruth chapter 4. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. There he says it. Boaz bought all that he was obligated by the law to buy. And only that was redeemed. Nothing else. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The obedience that Christ rendered for you and for me was perfect obedience. And it included that obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. As Boaz removed the obstacle of the nearer kinsman, so Christ has removed all our obstacles so that we can live unto Him and serve Him. Romans 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified, literally has been crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We are freed from bondage to the old man, and we are free to serve Christ and to bring forth fruit unto God. Ruth was freed from that shady character. And the time came that she brought forth fruit. Obed, to this godly man, Boaz, it is because of such a near kinsman like Boaz that Naomi encouraged Ruth to simply sit still, to trust in Him, to wait for Him, because He would not rest until He had finished the work. Our precious Redeemer Christ would not rest until He had finished redemption. When He had by Himself purged our sins, only then did He sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 1:4. For he that has entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from His. Hebrews 4:10. I ask you then, have you ceased from your own works? Are you still trying to justify yourself before God and before men by the power of an old nature? I believe that it's very easy to hear the truth as though it were a sweet song and not receive any of it. It is so sad that people can sit under the preaching of the gospel of God and yet go away unmoved, unchanged, and unrenewed by it. But it is an awesome reality. I hope today that you are ceasing from trying to justify yourself from that weak, flimsy power of a carnal and corrupted nature. Do not trust your flesh, your old man, or your natural abilities, because your old man is not only unwilling to redeem you, he is unable to redeem you. Praise God for Christ, who has undertaken and finished the great transaction of our redemption. The full price has been paid. All our heavy liabilities are discharged. Every righteous claim has been met. And He who on the cross made complete satisfaction for all that was charged against us has now entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us by His blood. Hebrews chapter 9. It is thought that there are many religions in the world. No, there are only two religions in the world. The true religion of Christ and His finished work. And people trusting to themselves that they in themselves and in their Christless religion have enough to justify themselves before the living. Well, I'm here today to tell you that by nature and by habit, we are all bankrupt. And we have no coin to bring to the living God. There is nothing of ourselves that we can present to God. Christ Jesus has paid it all. And we are to come and believe on Him. Rest on Him and sit still on His finished redemption and have all our trust in His work and none whatsoever in our own innate and native powers. May God bless His Word. I trust that He will give each one here grace to trust in nothing but Christ. Do not trust in yourself or in the power of the old man, for the old man cannot redeem. Let us pray together. O Lord, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We praise Thee that Thou hast willingly given the darling of Thy bosom into this filthy environment, into this ungodly world, into this corrupt planet. Our Savior came. Praise Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou didst make Thyself vulnerable for us. That Thou didst come and allow Thy precious body to be lacerated, to be cut and mangled. We praise Thee that Thou didst pour out Thy very soul unto death for us. We pray that Thou wilt therefore strip away all confidences in the flesh. We pray that Thou wilt cause us to look to Christ alone. O Spirit of God, make that a reality in every heart in this house. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.